listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Oh, stink of the time.
All right, we just heard from Vic Fangio, Joe Flacco, Von Miller,
Kevin Hogan.
Kevin Hogan.
While I try my best.
He didn't sound like a Stanford guy to me.
No?
No. I don't know what a Stanford guy sounds like, but it didn't sound like Kevin Hogan. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay.
Agree. Kind of uninspiring.
Yeah.
couple different things. Well, I'll ask you. What stood out to you? There's a lot there.
There was a lot there. I mean, I'll start at Vic. You know, I mean, we already talked about it. Dude, I mean, that stood out the most was Vic conversation. That was the best.
And if you're just joining us, the starters will not play.
Best thing for our team right now. And that's what stood out, really. It was like, you know, he tried to give the excuse it's our fourth game, but it's really not. It's really their third because they didn't play in the first one, really. But then he said after that, he said, this is the best thing for our team right now, which
right.
tells me, okay, he's throwing in the towel because of all the injuries. Joe.
And by the way, I just want to say real quick, because I saw a couple responses to that type of, you know, verbiage throwing. You're not saying throwing in the towel because of their situation is a bad thing. Typically,
right.
throwing in the towel comes with a negative
right.
connotation. You're not
right.
saying, no, you should be playing the starters.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. He's just tapping out. He's tapping out of the preseason, which I think is great. I'm all for it. That is awesome. That's what you should be doing in your situation. You shouldn't say, you know, if you're Vic Fangio, you shouldn't sit back and say, you know what? This is my philosophy and we're just going to do it.
Right.
I don't care what's happening, what's going on around me, what the circumstances are. We are playing in this fourth preseason / third preseason game. We're going to play into the third quarter. We're going to play our starters. No, he's actually taking the circumstances and being flexible and saying, you know what? In our situation right now next year it might be different, but in our situation with the injuries that are happening, what we're doing, short week, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's just foolish to play our starters. And I agree with them 100%. You don't need to play these guys anymore. Too many injuries. So I love what I'm seeing from Vic Fangio. I love that approach. That, especially from a first-time head coach, that's not an easy thing to do sometimes. You're just stuck in your ways, and this is what we're going to do. That's not how Vic operates.
And especially if you are, and I guess there's two different mindsets, but one of them could be, I am a first-time head coach. I'm 0-0. We got to beat the Raiders. And I need these guys ready to play football at a high level. And the only way to do that is to play football. And that's coming from his mouth. But you're right. He is adapting to his scenario. His speed limit 65. If it's raining, probably go slower. Right? Like, you roll with the punches, and that's what he's doing. I like it.
Yep. Joe, the funniest part when Joe was talking was, you know, he's asked about Drew Locke. He's like, well, I was just sitting with him in the cafeteria. You guys are more interested in the thumb than we are, or than I am, something like that, than we are in the locker room.
He did say that, right.
I was like, whoa.
Right.
And I think he just got caught up in what he was saying, and of course he knows, right? It's not like he didn't say, hey, how's your thumb doing? I mean, he knows, but he doesn't want to say.
It sounded like Flacco was saying, it's not really a big deal.
It could have been. I think he was just trying to not answer somebody else's question for him. You know, that's Drew Locke. Let Drew Locke talk about his hand and his thumb. I don't know the specifics. I'll let him deal with that. But certainly, if they're sitting at a table together, they're in the same meeting rooms together. They talk a lot. We've seen them on the practice field.
Sure.
So they're friendly. Hey, how's your thumb doing? I mean, he hears the reports in the training room, like, this is going to be 6 weeks. This is going to be whatever. So he knows. He just didn't want to talk on it.
Right. And you want to know, there's still an element to Flacco that I go back to this before the NFL draft, that when he was asked, hey, if they draft a young quarterback, and he's like, well, that young quarterback's got to be on the field with me. And he's still asking questions for right or wrong about the backup quarterback. Drew Locke's sprained thumb status was on the front page of ESPN yesterday. Like, this is, Drew Locke has a presence there, and I don't think Flacco is in love with it. I think Flacco wants to be the guy here for the next 5 years. I don't think he's in love with
I think he's friendly, but annoyed. I think he's probably fine with, because he realizes he's the guy. If he plays really, really well, he'll keep the job. And I don't know. I'm not reading that much into it. I think him and Drew Locke are fine, and he's just...
I'm not saying that they're not. I think they're great. I see him talking
all
the time.
I don't think he has an issue with it at all, though. You seem like you were saying that he has an issue with it.
I'm saying that could be annoying for Flacco. If he's up there, we got a football game in 3 weeks, and he's being asked about the backup quarterback status. Like, I could see where that would be an irritant, because I saw it be an irritant before they even drafted Drew Lock. Then they actually did it. So, and here he is, like, being asked about it. I'm sort of speculating here, but I think fairly, because I know if, you know, if I was doing a press conference and you're asking me, you know, every other week about, you know, the driver of the mid-morning show, I'd be like, why? I'm here to do my job.
John's doing pretty good.
He is doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good. Just saying.
I'm spinning a local.
What do you think? His wrist has been hurting him. What do you think? has he talked to you about it? His vocal cords have been getting
John and I talk. John and I do talk. I try to help John all the time.
So that was it for Joe for me, really. Kevin Hogan, I got really nothing from him. The one thing that he did say was that I thought was worthy was, you know, he wasn't expecting to go in at that moment. That wasn't the plan. But what happened? Injury happened. Hogan, you got to go in and you got to perform just like what? Like a real game. That's a backup. You're sitting there, you're holding the clipboard. You don't hold the clipboard anymore, but, you know, you're just like, eating on sunflower seeds, and you're listening to plays, and like, uh-oh, Flacco's down, got to go. That's what happened. So he was like, that was a good thing because I had to adapt on the fly. I thought that was the one thing I got from him. Von's great. I mean, he doesn't give you a whole lot, but I just love listening to Von talk. He's good at what he does. They asked him about Vic and the sweatshirt that they gave Vic for his birthday, and I love the Malik Reed, the dream killer.
Dream killer. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
good stuff.
You can tell he's pulling for him, and he kind of said he reminds him of Shaq Barrett.
Yeah.
But like guys like that, Ivan, you can tell he's really pulling for the kid. And so I thought that was good. What'd you make of? Do you have anything that really stuck out to you, but besides anything that I said, like anything that I missed there?
Yeah, there's something there that Von said that I think we need to just take a step back and take a moment, and I'll tell you exactly why next. We heard Von Miller speak to the media just moments ago, and you asked me what stuck out to me, and I said we need to just take a step back for a second with Von Miller. And we did the same exact segment a year ago. This exact segment, my exact takeaway from one of his media availabilities, and it's worth doing again 365 days later. We need to appreciate Von Miller and who he is as the face of this franchise. He gets asked about Vic Fangio, who has done nothing but challenge him, who has done nothing but said his name in the media. Not any sort of protection, not any sort of glossing or bloviating about how good he is and how excited he is to work with Von Miller. We haven't heard any of that. It's all about challenging him. And Von Miller's receptive nature to that type of coaching and to coaching in general, he said, coach me, coach me. And I heard him say that this past week too. And Von's not perfect. No one is. But when I look around this league and I see some of the drama queens and high maintenance personalities that are littered throughout the National Football League, look no further than Antonio Brown, who, like Von Miller, will end up in the Hall of Fame one day. You see the way he handles himself. You see the way he needs to be coddled. You see the way he needs to be babied. You look at Odell Beckham Jr., and I guess I'm naming a couple receivers, but
every time I watch Antonio Brown, I find myself liking him more. When I watch him on Hard Knocks, when I don't hear him talk or see the Hard Knocks cameras, and I just see the process and everything that's going on, I'm like, this guy is just needs attention. He's just drama, drama, drama. But then when I watch him on Hard Knocks and hear him talk about, you know, people are attacking me, this and that, and I see him work, and I see him put in the work, and you hear Emmanuel Sanders says, the only person that works harder than me is Antonio Brown.
Yep.
And so you hear those things, I'm like, I start liking him again. I don't know. That's just me.
I don't think you're crazy, because there is attributes about Antonio Brown that are very likable, and I know exactly what you're talking about when he's sitting down on Hard Knocks and And then he thanked John Gruden. He's like, thank you for having my back and supporting me. Felt like the world was against me. I understand. But at the same time.
And it makes me like him. I can't, I got that soft spot, Zach. I just got big softy.
I got you. And two things can be true at the same time.
Can they?
Because the other side of the coin
used to tell me that a lot.
That's right. The other side of the coin is Antonio Brown has held that organization hostage to the point where the GM has to get out and address it.
Yep.
Von Miller has not put the Broncos in that type of situation. People don't have to walk on eggshells the way that they do around Odell Beckham Jr. It's not even a guy like Ben Roethlisberger who has thrown teammates under the bus repeatedly and been accused of being a bad leader. Aaron Rodgers, same thing. Like, Von's not perfect. He's not the alpha dog, DeMarcus Ware, Peyton Manning, you know, follow me leader. But for who he is, we need to appreciate him because he has elevated this community. And the way that he is falling in line under Vic Fangio, it's the old Tim Duncan thing. If Tim Duncan's going to humble himself and let Pop coach him up, then why couldn't Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Patty Mills, or anyone else for that matter?
Patty.
So I just – Vaughn is – when Vaughn's gone, Kanye West said a line years ago. He said, if you admire somebody, you should go ahead and tell them because – people never get the flowers while they can still smell them.
I like it.
And when Von Miller's long gone from here, and there's going to be some punk who rolls through here and throws his weight around and goes diva on people, and we're going to say, we're going to wish for the days that Von Miller would get out in front of the podium and say, I'm willing to be coached by this old school dude.
Very well said. I mean, you're spot on. We got our superstar here, and, you know, we can say he's not the leader that he needs to be. We want more of a vocal leader from Von. He's not going to sit there and hold guys accountable to that degree. But when you phrase it the way that you did, and you realize Von, yeah, he's a superstar, and he transcends, you know, football. At the same time, when he takes that type of approach, and he works the way that he works, and he's coachable, and there's no issues with him. I mean, how can Bradley Chubb be any different? How can anybody on that defense be any different? They just can't. And so, yeah, we can knock him for certain things, but when you take a step back and you realize what he does and how he does it, yeah, he's not perfect. But there's very few, you know, Peyton Mannings in this world, those types of leaders. And you can lead in different ways, but certainly Von, the way the player that he is and the way that he acts and the way that he's willing to be coached and, that just, you know, and you heard him talk today about Vic's birthday and all these different things. He's just a well-rounded guy. I mean, he's a good dude. And he got me last year, you know, when I was talking about, trading him, right? And came over to our tent during 2-a-days. And then the last day of camp for us, I'm out there with my son, and he did his little press conference, and he was walking by, and he saw my son there. And I was like, Von, will you take a picture with him? And my son's taken a few of them, but he's grown a lot, and I like to kind of compare him.
That's cool.
And then so he started having just a natural conversation with him, like how much he's grown since Von last saw him. And then he started making fun of his bad little mustache that he had. And so it was just funny. That's just the type of guy Von is, though. He's a well-rounded guy. He's a very genuine guy. And we should. I think you're right. We should just appreciate him a little bit more for who he is, not the one or two little things that he might lack.
Right. Hey, he doesn't call everyone out when they're right. Okay, well, how many true total packages are there around the league that are a Hall of Fame player in their prime and also the apex of leadership right. and all? It's like, he's a human being, but he's a good one.
Yep,
he's a good one. All right. The big news that we really found out today was from Vic Fangio, that he is bucking tradition. He is not playing the starters, and he's not the only one. We'll tell you who else just decided to do this, but you are going to give something up. We'll take a dive into that conversation next. Well, we learned a valuable piece of information just about an hour ago, and it's something that we speculated by just gathering the clues, putting the pieces of the puzzle down on the table, and figuring out what picture was being revealed. And Vic Fangio confirmed it. The starters will not play in what is traditionally the NFL's dress rehearsal. And he's not the only one. you're seeing this be a real trend across the NFL. Frank Reich is the latest to announce that the Indianapolis Colts are bucking tradition and will not play most of their starters in Saturday's third preseason game where the Colts lock horns with the Bears. Sean McVay was the first one to really do this with a wholesale approach. And he was asked on if a 16-game season plays into not rushing to play the starters in the preseason. And this is what Sean McVay said. Quote, yeah, I think you'd like to think that. I think the main part about it is it's not something, and you kind of continue to learn as you go, that's really just what we felt like has organically taken place. That's not to say that there's not an appreciation for what the preseason entails and playing real football. I think there is a lot of merit to that. But when you look at some of the continuity now that we have on both sides of the football coming back and you say, okay, if something were to happen, is it really worth that risk in our mind? We just feel like the answer is no. That's the approach that we're taking. I totally understand if people don't agree with that. But we always make decisions that we feel like are in the best interest of our team. And that's really just for this unit. Now, does that mean we'll always be able to have that luxury? I think if you have a different amount of continuity in returning players, then the narrative and the conversation we're having is a little bit different. End quote. I love that from McVay.
Yeah, I mean, their situation is different. He didn't play him last year. He was going into his second year. They had lost the first round of the playoffs the year before. They felt like they had a good team. I just think that that approach you're going to be seeing more and more. Like we've talked about, it's just, you can't, you're seeing it across the NFL, like more rest days for guys, more load management.
Load management.
And sports in general, but sure. Especially in football. Like, we're going to be ultra conservative and cautious with this player and working him back from injury. So I think you see that approach more and more, and it's going to just continue to filter into preseason games. I mean, you're starting to see it trickle in there, but it's only the beginning. And do they take a couple games out? Will that matter? What will happen in that regard?
I do think it's a factor for them to removing preseason games. Because if the league is acknowledging that the movement is to not play the guys and they want to add two regular season games anyway, it could be a factor in just continuing down that road.
Well, that ain't going to be an even trade. I can promise you that. It ain't going to be two preseason games for two regular season games.
No. I don't believe so either. There's going to be give and take from both sides. But I think ultimately, as far as... Like, in 10 years, I don't think we have four preseason games. In 10 years, I don't think we have 16 regular season games. There's going to be other back and forth, but in those two categories, in just their respective regards, do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I don't know about the 18 games, but I'm looking just at preseason. I'm with you on preseason. I think, because it's going to be harder and harder for the NFL to sell it to the public when guys aren't playing at all, when it's all just backups. And that's what it's going to be here pretty soon if you try to keep four games. Now, two games, now will that change guys and coaches' approach? Maybe a little bit? I don't know. I just think that maybe you could try to sell two games to the public, and then teams will start doing more joint practices, which I think is 100 times better than the preseason games anyway. Now, you don't get the pure tackling that Vic loves. You know, he loves the tackling, and you don't get the game situations. But you get different situations, and it's more controlled. And the injury risk is a lot less. I mean, that's just the facts. Injuries are a lot less likely to happen in a joint practice than they are in a preseason game. So, we'll see how it goes. I like this approach from Vic, though. I like the approach that, you know what, we've been at camp for a long time. We're on a short week. I think it all factored in. Injuries, short week, they're traveling. They've been at camp for a week longer than whatever it's been than everybody else. All of those things combined, he just said, you know what, And when I say throw in the towel, I mean throw in the towel in the preseason. We're done with the preseason. The towel's in. We're done. I agree 100% with them. And now let's get ready for the Oakland stinking Raiders when it really matters on Monday night. Forget this crazy preseason stuff. I am done with it. Can you imagine the Broncos?
Mm.
They got to be like, we are done with this preseason. I had 5 preseason games 1 year. We went to Japan for the first one.
Gosh.
Yeah. So that was a long, long preseason. It just gets old quick. I mean, you're ready for real football. And I like the approach, and I like that they're doing that, and they're realizing the situation.
Drew Lock spoke to the media just moments ago. This is what that conversation sounded like.
Obviously, the first game, I wasn't happy with the way I played. I feel like I was making strides every single week. Obviously, that's up to the coaches, but you know, I felt as if I was starting to play a little better and maybe starting to earn that role.
They make sure that you don't take a step backwards and fall off that progress.
Whatever I was doing to, you know, get to, you know, be ready for a game or be ready for a practice, so I do about 2 times as more as that because I'm not going to get the reps out there on the field. Like I said last time, we have the VR stuff upstairs that's going to be heavily used, and you just got to stay on top of everything.
What's the pain level? So you said you've done this a lot in basketball before, you know, jamming the time. So just knowing your body, do you have any sense in your mind how long you think you'd be? So you come back and you can do things?
Yeah, you know, I'm not 100% sure. Just going to leave that up to the people in that room to kind of evaluate it a little bit. I know my pain tolerance. I know, you know, that level of stuff. But, you know, I think they're going to make the best decision on when I should be, you know, stepping back out on the football field.
Have you ever had a sprain this bad in basketball?
I have not, no.
Have you talked to you at all when you're scrambling around?
I mean, you know, you always get talked to as a quarterback. You know, you can get down and avoid a tackle. Go ahead and do that or get out of bounds. But no, that's kind of who I am. I feel like that's what got me here. So stopping that at any time now because I had this little kind of a freak injury happen, that's just not who I'm going to be as a quarterback.
What's the pain level like?
I can't give you a 1 to 10. It's probably not. Probably not an easy answer right now. Can't give you, I don't know, no, the true pain scale on what a sprained thumb is supposed to be like, so.
You mentioned the VR stuff, how has that already helped you?
You know, it helps a lot, being able to see what Joe does from kind of like his angle of things. Of course, you know, we're standing back there and we get to watch from a side, but like being able to see every single rep, being able to see what the defense does, not just only on my reps, but being able to see a ton of different looks. It's like, they come out, you get 20, 25 plays, you know, you learn from those 25 plays, you can go back and learn from everybody else's plays too.
And was that VR scheme you had at Mizzou too, or was that you here?
So we had VR my sophomore, junior year at Mizzou, so yeah, I'm kind of familiar with it.
The
goggles
are like
the Yeah. The whole shebang.
What? Did I just hear that? Did you hear what I heard?
Oh.
Did you hear what I heard?
Is he talking about the Broncos and virtual reality? Let's go live to DMAC after we hear this. DMAC, what are your thoughts after you just heard that the Broncos are integrating virtual reality?
A thing that we have been denied for far too long. Good morning, my neighbors! Yes! Yes!
Reality.
Darren McKee
here.
Will sleep
easy
for the rest of his life.
Oh.
They did it, Darren. They did it.
For you, buddy. For you. Virtual reality and the Denver Broncos are now a thing.
It's peanut butter and jelly.
I mean, he's been talking about that thing for years.
Years. He has. He has. He has.
Oh. Are we going to have to listen to that for 3 hours?
Oh,
4 hours today?
Oh, yeah. 4.
Feel bad for Tom.
Oh.
Wow. That might be a little bit painful. Hopefully he doesn't talk about it for 4 straight hours.
If you think that they are not leading with it.
Oh, they're leading with it. Oh, I already know what they're leading with. Right. You already know what they're leading with.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I think it's a great thing.
It is.
You're putting him in position. He can't do anything on the football field. So why not look at alternate ways to try to get better and improve? And I've never done it. I don't know what it looks like, but apparently he said, you can take like practice reps behind Joe and put the goggles on and see what he's seeing, do what he's doing. I don't know. Why not? I don't think it's going to hurt. Can't hurt.
You know who was on the ground floor of this thing was the former quarterback, Alex Van Pelt. And I remember at a certain, you remember Alex Van Pelt, right?
Yeah, for the Bills.
That's right.
Yep. Pitt.
He is,
is he at Pitt? Look up his college.
Is he at Pitt? Yeah, yeah, no, he.
University
yes,
of Pitt.
Yes, 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 he played at Pitt. Played at Pitt. Good call.
I know Alex Van Pelt.
He's from Pitt.
You wanna know what high school he went to?
And, he, went to Winston Churchill High School San Antonio, Texas.
That's right.
Played backup quarterback in the league for a long time. But he has been adamant, about getting this thing going. And he is, even today, he's a quarterback's coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, something he believes in a lot. Anyway, he joined the drive, I remember, like a year or two ago, and talked about how valuable it was. And Drew Locke used it at Missouri. And he talked about how valuable it has helped him. So, look, you just try to give these guys as many resources as you can.
Yeah, I think Ted Sundquist, the former GM for the Broncos, might be doing virtual reality stuff, too. And he's been off and on with, like, D-Mac, and yeah, he does some calls some high school games, so I see him every now and then, once or twice last year. So yeah, I think he also does that too.
Good stuff. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
All right, we were talking about playing the starters. Vic Fangio is not going to play the starters in what is traditionally the dress rehearsal. You think it's a good idea because of this situation?
D-Mac's going to come strutting in here.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Like,
it's going to be the biggest victory lap ever.
Like, from the Jeffersons. George from the Jeffersons with his hands back. You know, I mean, he is going to be unbelievable. Strutting in here with the biggest smile on his face.
Let's prepare ourselves. Let's prepare ourselves. Vic Fangio's not going to play the starters. You think it's a good idea. Another host here at The Fan? Not so much. He's going to join us in person next. Hey. His starters. Now, we don't know if that's going to be like every single starter, but he said, you know, the guys that you're typically referring to, they're not going to play.
Right.
So does that mean all 22 who will start against the Raiders won't play? Maybe not. We saw him handle the Hall of Fame game differently. So we'll wait and see. We don't have to wait long.
Man, I feel bad for the guys that they sprinkle in there. If it's, you know, 19 starters and the two guys that are starters in play. That would say a lot.
Well, that's what they did the Hall of Fame game. You had five of your 22. Garrett Bowles, rookie Reisner, Connor McGovern, new position, Shelby Harris, and Adam Gotsis.
Shelby doesn't need to play for sure.
Shelby does not need to play. Gotsis probably needs
to
play.
Ice his hand up. Yeah, and get ready to bat down balls and chase down screens. And just keep doing your thing.
That's right. Ice his hand up. I like that. Nick Ferguson drops by. After you heard this news, you popped your head in here and said, you know, I don't know if this is a great thing for the Broncos. Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, the reason I don't believe it's a great thing is because some of the comments that Coach Fangio made about Emmanuel Sanders himself, that he looked a little gassed, he looked a little winded. I know Emmanuel's coming off an Achilles injury, and we can't say that about every starter who's not going to play against the Rams. But here's what we do know. And maybe Stokely can back me up on this, is when you don't play in a certain amount of games and you get to that first game of the season, it's going to be hot. That tempo and that energy that is going to be raging inside of you, it's going to make things very difficult from a stamina standpoint. And you can try to practice a 2-minute or 4-minute type of situation in practice, but it's entirely different in the game. You're actually moving from play to play, moving at a speed and velocity and a pace that you cannot duplicate in practice. So that is my only concern. And I know Coach Fangio is thinking, well, we've had a certain amount of players, you know, get injured. We don't want to risk some of our top players being injured. But when you really look at the grand scheme of what preseason has been for the Broncos, we're saying that this is their fourth preseason game. Yes, technically on the schedule it is, but when it comes to the starters, it's only their third preseason game, yep. Right? A lot of these guys still need those reps to kind of, you know, build that chemistry that's going to be needed for game time situations when they go to play Oakland on the road. So I understand his ideas of not wanting to get guys injured, but for the fact of, you know, that endurance that you're going to need in that game one, for me, if I'm John Gruden, knowing that, I'm going to go up tempo every single time. I'm not going to allow you to change and get your, you know, your sub package in. I'm going to run the crap out of those dudes on the first unit on defense.
You know, you're right. Look, I mean, you're right. It's different, and Vic talked about it. It's different when you get into a game situation, and the only way to get really in game shape is by playing in games, and that's just the way it is. I think in this situation, when you look at the Broncos and you say, okay, maybe Emmanuel Sanders, maybe our, you know, Phillip Lindsay, who will be rotating anyway, maybe our guys that run a lot might not be able to play 60 plays. Maybe we have to play them 54 plays, 52 plays. And I think it's worth it to maybe scale back a few extra plays and not put the guys at risk of injury because of everything that's happened this preseason and say, yep, you know, we might not be in the best game condition. They're going to be in condition,
exactly.
But the best game condition. But that's all right, and I'm fine with that because I don't want to see another starter out there, and I don't want to see a starter get hurt in preseason in a meaningless game. And that's where I'm at, and that's why I'm A-OK with it, is because these guys are in good shape. It's different in a game, and I know when I get in the game sometimes, man, and I hadn't played in a while, my heart starts beating.
Exactly.
You just get, you know, zapped of your energy a lot quicker. You really do. And I remember my first game against Pittsburgh on the way back here in 2012 as a preseason game. No, as the first regular season game. I had played in preseason games. And I still, my energy was zapped. And I didn't even play that many plays because I was the third wide. But even though I played in preseason games, that first game didn't even prepare me for that moment because it was actually real. And the excitement and the energy, it just zapped me from, I didn't have the same stamina that I usually do. But for me, looking at the Broncos, that's fine. I'm okay with it. I'm okay because I don't want to see these guys get injured.
But here's something to add to that. And once again, I understand what you're saying. I understand Coach Vangio. Let's just say week one against Oakland. A couple of guys get winded. As though, you know, receivers, they get winded. Those guys are allowed to change. On defense, we're not. So Emmanuel gets winded. Cortland gets winded. They have to come out. Now you're saying, okay, well, now we're putting our second and third tier wide receivers maybe on the key drive that we need our ace players to make plays for us. They can't because they're a little exhausted. Now, we're not going to be talking about this week, maybe two, three, or maybe even four. But week one, these are some of the concerns. NFL, any sport, period. You play basketball, Zach. I mean, there is a risk for injury every single time you step out on the field or the court. And I understand as a coach, you're trying to make sure you reserve your starters, right? Because you don't want to expose them to injury. But like, you know, you just said, Stogan, like Fangio said, the only way you get better at playing the sport is by playing the sport. Now, you can keep them on, you know, a low pitch count, but you need to see them get out there because you don't want endurance to be an issue because, and you know this, you know, you play the game and now you coach high school football. Having a lack of endurance exposes you to injury.
Sure.
Because now you're tired. You can't really give chase at that quarterback. Now you're not tackling the way that you need to tackle. Now guess what? Some guy runs into you. Now there's a soft tissue injury. There's a shoulder. Now you're missing a couple of games. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, look, it's one of those things where you look at it and both could be right.
Yeah.
You look at the Rams last year.
Damned if you do, damned if
the Rams
don't.
Last year, and it worked out well for them.
It did.
But you look at other situations where guys play and they don't get hurt in the preseason, and it works out well for their football team. So I think every situation is different. I just think that I just hate seeing guys get hurt in the preseason. And if you get hurt in a regular season because maybe you didn't get calloused enough in the preseason, I'd rather see that happen than watch guys in your team and the lack of the depth just get decimated by injuries because you're playing in meaningless games. I also heard that you have a thought on, you know, virtual reality is coming back. Denver Broncos are using it, it seems like. Drew Locke talked about it. I know you had it. I've never had experience with it. I wish I did. You've have, right?
Yeah.
With San Fran last year?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Coaching with San Francisco last year, I thought it was great because there were a lot of our players who were not receiving a lot of reps. And usually coaches say, well, you know, get those mental reps. But that's full of crap, to be totally honest, because if you're a quarterback, you're not seeing things move around. You're not seeing safeties rotate. You're not seeing the linebackers adjust post-snap. This is where I feel that the Broncos could have used this during those years of Peyton Manning. Because if you look at places Peyton has played, that backup quarterback hasn't really seen a lot of development.
Right.
This is where the development of maybe Brock Osweiler and Trevor Siemian would have been great. Now those players can see what Peyton was seeing in game situations and practices to kind of speed up their development. In San Francisco, we use this a lot with Nick Mullins. We use this a lot with our secondary guys who were not getting a lot of reps, but because now they can get those mental reps and see it through virtual reality and see, okay, oh, this is what I should have done. Here's what the fullback is going to do when he's motion. So for me, it works. And Drew Locke, he's going to need it, being as though I don't expect for him to, you know, be with the team. I'm thinking maybe they put him on IR for 6 weeks, give Kevin Hogan an opportunity to solidify that number two spot. If he doesn't, you bring Drew Locke back. But now Drew Locke has an opportunity to sit there, go through everything that everyone else is doing, even Joe Flacco, without missing a beat.
So you think your experience with virtual reality last year, you think it's a good thing? Do you think, because obviously, look, your starting quarterback last year with San Francisco got hurt in the regular season. All of a sudden, you got to turn to, I think Beathard was first, then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then it was Nick Mullins who played really, really well. I mean, do you think that was a factor in how well he played and was able to perform because of the virtual reality system that y'all were using there?
Absolutely. Because, you know, Nick Mullins told me himself that his first year in the offense was very difficult. Even coming to his second year, it was very difficult because a lot of teams, from an offense standpoint, they don't run this type of scheme that Scangarola is trying to bring in here. So you need something like virtual reality to bring your rookies along. And that definitely help Nick Mullins, because Nick went out and played lights out that Thursday night against the Raiders, right? And that's when all of a sudden everyone knew who Nick Mullins was. I mean, he even got the little blue check on Twitter because of that game. So it is something that I believe a lot of high schools, colleges, and pro teams should definitely invest in, especially if you're trying to, you know, nurture and develop a backup quarterback.
Well, it worked for Nick Mullins last year. He was so good. People don't give Nick Mullins, a rookie, by the way, he's a rookie quarterback, the credit that he deserves.
Ben Simmons rookie.
Who's a Ben Simmons rookie?
Simmons rookie, yeah.
But his first time ever playing.
That's right.
He played half of the football season and was on pace to throw for over 4,500 yards. Complete, you know, I think it was like 65% of his passes. Nick Mullins could ball, and he's got a pair of legs. He was a pretty good athlete, too.
Hey, well, real quick, were you surprised that Beathard went in second over Mullins?
No. Coaches tried to do this to kind of mix things up, to give guys the reps, because now it is a battle at the number two spot for the quarterback in San Francisco. But I'll leave you guys with this. As the Broncos tried to figure out what they're going to do with their number two spot or their number three spot, and Drew Locke is out with that nursing that thumb, understand, San Francisco, they haven't figured out their number two spot yet.
Well, they're keeping Mullins. They ain't letting him.
Okay, so if Mullins is a guy that is on the San Francisco roster, then that means C.J. Beathard, a guy who's familiar with this offense. And I know James Maryland mentioned Brock Osweiler bringing him in here. No, you bring C.J. Beathard if that is something that Scangarola wants to look at.
I think they're trying to showcase him to trade him.
There you go.
Beathard.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's their thought process at all.
Good stuff, Nick. Appreciate that. That was great insight on the virtual reality. I've never got a chance to use it or see it or, you know, just tell you if it's good or bad. Nick had it last year in San Fran and thinks it's a great thing. So good. If it helps your quarterback.
I was going to say, even if
why
it,
not?
And he used it at Missouri, even if it's helping him 1% or making him feel comfortable and still integrated while he's out, I'm all for it. Nick Ferguson, great stuff. All right. By the way, so we've been having a lot of conversation here, what we heard from Vic Fangio, what we heard from Von Miller, and what we heard from Drew Locke. When it comes to the quarterback spot, there's a guy here that's thinking way outside the box, but he actually thinks it's squarely in that box.
The man in the box. Allison Chains.
We'll explain. Well, exactly what we're talking about, but first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?